all of the redemptive blessings that were purchased for us by Jesus Christ. All of those blessings become real in our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. Someone said it like this: the Father thought it, the Son bought it, and the Holy Ghost wrought it. And so the Holy Ghost works out in our lives answers to prayer, blessings that have been purchased for us by Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful life it is, a life in the Spirit. Tonight, I'm going to speak to you about Spirit-led boldness. I believe that you and I are going to need Spirit-led boldness to accomplish God's purpose for us in the days ahead. I'm calling it Spirit-led boldness because there's a fleshly boldness that is repulsive and destructive, but there is a godly boldness that is absolutely necessary for us to accomplish God's purpose for us and what He has for us. There's a passage in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 31. I'll start out in reading. And we'll talk first of all about vertical boldness, boldness with God. And then horizontal boldness, boldness in this world, boldness against the enemy of our souls. Acts 4, 29, 31. This is a prayer that is being prayed by the early Christians in Jerusalem. It's actually in response to a report brought back by their leaders who have been arrested and have been commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Hey, we're getting a little bit of that even in our culture today. There was a few years ago, there was a judge in Texas that, somebody complained and brought forth a suit because in the Santa Fe High School, they had a tradition of having prayers at football games and in their graduation, students would, give their testimony. And so anyway, somebody complained and brought a lawsuit, and this judge made the statement that they could not use the name of Jesus in their prayers, valedictorian addresses, and said, "And if you violate my order, this court will make you wish you had never been born." Isn't that amazing in America? We're going to need boldness in the days ahead to accomplish what God wants to do in us and through us. I personally believe, I'll have to admit, I believe I have experienced genuine revival in my life, touching my life, and I have studied it, but I had come to a place where I had lost hope of seeing a real, genuine, national, genuine spiritual awakening. And I guess because I had observed so much of what people were calling revival, it just seemed to be so much religious hype and glitz and so on, and glitter. I think it's probably just over a year ago, I think it was in July, there was a small church in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. They had built a new building, and the pastor is a longtime friend. He asked me to come over and speak at the dedication. And I don't know why it happened then. I got up. It was a couple hours drive, so I got up, got in my car, and when I pulled out, all of a sudden, I know it was a work of the Holy Spirit. I had a renewed hope that God is going to do something in this nation significant. Hallelujah. But it's going to require a Spirit-inspired, Spirit-led boldness. Because just like in the Church of Jerusalem, there's a lot of opposition and there are a lot of enemies of Jesus Christ that do not want this to happen. And the leaders in this situation in Jerusalem, they had brought back this report of how the authorities in Jerusalem had ordered them not to speak or preach in the name of Jesus Christ, or they were in big trouble. And so when they heard this, they gathered together and they began to pray and call out to God. And one of their prayers was this, verse 29. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Hallelujah. Lord, do not let us be intimidated. You see, Satan is an intimidator. To intimidate means to make timid. And Satan wants to intimidate God's people. And they said, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Lord, don't let us respond to their threats. Grant us a boldness in the face of their intimidation and their threats. Give us boldness to continue to speak your word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I see some young people here tonight. It's like just rising up in my heart. I want to believe God for boldness for you to speak God's word, to speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wherever you may go to school or whatever your situation may be. Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Wow. The very building apparently was shaken. And they were all. Everybody say all. Not just 50%, 90%. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now notice what happened next. And the prayer was answered. And they spoke the word with boldness. How was their prayer answered? By God giving them a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, it is the Holy Spirit that makes real in our lives all the blessings of God that have been purchased for us by Jesus Christ. And so their answer to the prayer for boldness came by a new and fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It says they were all filled. Now, isn't it interesting? Probably most of them are the same people in Acts 2:4. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place in one accord, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues like as of fire and set up an inch each of them. And then this is one I was trying to get to. And they were how many? All. God doesn't want anybody in this building left out. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now what this shows us is you can be filled and you can get filled again. Here in Acts 4, these same people, they were praying and the ones that had been filled in Acts 2, they were filled in Acts 4. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know I believe this. Yes, I believe I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But God is such an incredible, such an awesome, such an almighty God that He can fill me in a way I haven't been filled. I may be filled now, but He can fill me again in a way I've never been filled before. And why don't we all believe God, even if we say, well, you know, I've been filled. Well, why don't we believe God to be filled like we've never been filled before? Hallelujah. And they were all filled. There was the answer to their prayer. Came through a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is the thing, the answers to our prayers, this is how God answers our prayers, comes with a fresh visitation, a fresh filling of God's Holy Spirit. That's why we're in continual need. We don't need a testimony. I was filled with the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. Folks, I won't cut it. We got to be living and walking and continually receiving fresh infillings of God's Holy Spirit. Making real in our lives answers to prayer and all the blessings that God wants to flow into us and out of us and through us. Hallelujah. Let's just thank God right now. God, for His Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank You. God, we just thank You. Thank You for His boldness tonight. For You, a fresh boldness in Your heart, in Your mind, a fresh boldness to confront the intimidations of the enemy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give You praise for it, O God. We magnify Your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We'll talk about boldness before God. Because in this new covenant, in these redemptive blessings, there is such a freedom and a boldness and a confidence that we can have before our God. In Luke chapter 11, reading at verse 1, it tells us about, we'll just read it. Now, it came to pass as he, that is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So here's the request, Lord, teach us to pray. How many thinks Jesus could teach us something about prayer? And so Jesus responds, first of all, by giving them what we call the Lord's Prayer. But he didn't stop there. He continued to respond to their request to, Lord, teach us to pray. And he went on by telling a story, a parable, starting at verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet I'm reading the New King James. Yet because of his persistence, the Old King James says importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, this story is a continued response to their request. Lord, teach us to pray. And he tells a story. And we have to understand, think a little bit about the cultural setting. It's primarily a farming culture. There's no electricity. People probably get up before sunrise. And they go to bed early around sunset or shortly thereafter. And so Jesus tells about a man who has a friend who's in a journey and he arrives at midnight. Well, you know, he's probably exhausted if he's traveled to get there. There are no McDonald's and Burger Kings along the way to get something to eat. There's no place, you know, to stop and have a soft bed. So this guy, I mean, he has really been pushing it to arrive at his destination. And he gets there at midnight, exhausted, hungry. His friend really feels for him, but he's out of food. He's out of bread. So he thinks, man, I'll go next door. But, man, these folks, they have been in bed for hours. And not only that, but in that culture, in that society, it wasn't unusual for them to keep animals in the house, especially in the wintertime. They might have some animals. They might have some goats like Linda. Now, she doesn't have them in her house, but I don't think. She would. But they would, especially in the wintertime, they might have a cow and they might have some sheep and some chickens and everything. And they've got everything bedded down for the night. Usually one great big room and the children are asleep. And to come and wake somebody up at midnight and knock on their door and the babies start crying, the sheep start bleeding, the chickens flying through the house. Man, you just don't do that. But this man, he goes next door. And he says to the man inside, friend, I have a friend just arrived. I need some bread. And Jesus said, look at verse 8 again. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. He will not get up on the basis of friendship. Just because they're neighbors and friends, he won't get up. He'll say, hey, friend, go back to bed. Come back tomorrow. But he says, because of the man's importunity, the Greek word is anideion. You can look this up. It literally means shamelessness. That's why the NIV translates it as boldness. In other words, the man goes over and without any shame, he just goes over, knocks on the man's door and said, "Hey, friend, I need you to get up and give me some bread." And because he is so shameless and so bold in his asking, Jesus said the man inside will get right up and give him what he wants, not because he's his friend, but because he is so shameless and bold in his asking. Wow. Could Jesus possibly be telling us that we can be so bold and shameless in coming before God? Oh, I think if we understand what an incredible thing God has done for us. I think I would like to just look at a couple of Old Testament passages that illustrate this. In the life of Moses, the first one is Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, about this boldness before God. Exodus 33, 19, Moses had a unique relationship with God like nobody else in the Old Testament. This is described in Exodus 33, 19, where it says the Lord would speak to Moses, here's the key, face to face. As a man speaks with his friend, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Now, this is unique, we know, because over in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, we have an account of where Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister, challenged him, challenged his leadership. And God called them aside, and here's what he said to them. This is in verse 6. He said to them, "When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions and I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face." In other words, hey, we know that God still gives dreams and visions. But apparently Moses has something better than dreams and visions. He had a face-to-face relationship with God. Now, there's the passage. Go with me over to Judges, chapter 6, verses 22 and 24. There was a belief, sort of a tradition, a belief among the Jews, ancient Jews, that nobody could see the face of God and live. If you saw God's face, you would die. And in this story in Judges chapter 6, the Lord, an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. And when Gideon, it's probably an Old Testament theophany manifestation of God in human form. Because when Ezekiel realized that it was not just some regular old angel, but it was the angel of Yahweh, it says. A theophany, a manifestation of Yahweh. He was frightened out of his wits. And notice what God said to him. Well, start reading verse 22, Judges 6. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of Yahweh, the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, said to him, "Peace," or shalom. "Do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord, our peace. Dedicated to the fact, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is our peace. We can see Him and not die. There's a passage over in, I believe ties into this, in Romans 5:1. Paul says, "Therefore being justified, made righteous by faith, we have peace." Shalom. With God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has brought us, all of us, into a place where we too can have an open face-to-face. Glory to God. So, hey, thank God for dreams and visions, but don't get all excited about dreams and visions. God has made something available to us even better than that. A face-to-face relationship. A relationship of shalom, of peace, where you can come with confidence and boldness. This is why, what Jesus was talking about. Of course, it's not a smart alecky, arrogant kind of boldness. It's the kind of boldness a parent has with a child. I remember when I was probably about 7 years old, my family lived in the state of Oregon for a time, and we lived close to a railroad that came through, and there was it wasn't like a passenger train stop, but it was some kind. I remember there were big water tanks or something. I don't know if the train took on something, but this was the time when hobos were still riding the trains, and we would get some hobos. Regular would come to our house looking for our food, looking for a handout, and they always came to the back door sheepish with their hat in their hand, wanting to know if they had any leftovers or anything, and my mother always had something to give to them. But when I was hungry, I didn't go to the back door and ask any leftovers. I walked in, sat down at the kitchen table, said, "Where's the food? What are we going to eat?" Now, my parents didn't say, "Well, you little smart alecky, arrogant so-and-so, who do you think you are?" No, hey. They said, "Oh, it's coming. We'll have it in a little bit." You know, why did I have such boldness? Because I was in the family. Hallelujah, I was in the family. I can't imagine my family sitting down to eat sometime, and everybody's sitting at their table. I had three older brothers growing up, and everybody's at the table, and my seat is empty. And they're saying, "Where is Eddie?" And the screen door pushes open, and I come crawling in on my hands and knees, and they're looking at me like, what's he doing? And I come crawling up the table, and I say, "Oh, I'm not worthy to sit at the table with all of you. Just throw down some crumbs for me on the floor." Now, I guarantee you my dad would not have said, or my parents would not have said, "Oh, we're so proud of Eddie. Look how humble he is." My dad would have got up and given me a kick in the seat of the pants and said, "Quit acting silly and sit down here at the table. And eat what's been prepared for you." And I've been places where I felt like God would like to give people a kick in the seat of the pants and say, "Quit acting silly. And come and dine. Sit down at the table that I've prepared for you." Hallelujah. Come with boldness to the throne of grace. Glory to God. Come with boldness. What's that? Hebrews 4:16. Let us there come with boldness to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Even when we've blown it and we need mercy, we come with boldness because of what Jesus has done. You know, under the old covenant, the people had to keep their distance. Nobody could go into that innermost sanctuary except the high priest once a year with a blood offering for the sins of the people. According to some Jewish traditions, they tied a rope on his leg so that if his offering was not accepted, because it was a terrible, awesome thing to go there into the presence of Jehovah. That if his offering was not accepted, nobody would dare go in there after him. You remember two of Aaron's sons were struck down because they offered up strange fire before the Lord. And I remember when God came down on Mount Sinai and the people rushing in trying to see, God told Moses, said, "Go down and put up boundaries. Don't let the people get too close lest I break out amongst them." And so in the old covenant, if you wanted to live, you had to keep your distance. But Jesus Christ, through his redemptive work, did such an incredible thing on the cross. Did such an incredible work of redemption and salvation. That now, if you keep your distance, you will die. The only way now to live, you got to keep coming. You got to keep running to God. Even when you've blown it, you got to keep running, because if you keep your distance now, you will die. You got to keep running and keep coming. And Jesus said, you can come shamelessly and boldly into His presence. Hallelujah. Have you prayed a shameless and bold prayer lately? Let me ask you that again. Have you prayed a shameless, bold prayer recently? And when I say this, I think of a bold prayer in the Psalms. I think it's Psalm 2. Ask of the Lord, and He will give you the nations for your inheritance. Somebody help me quote that. Ask of the Lord and He will give you. I'll turn over. It's the nations, and there's another way of expressing it. I want to read that. That's a great prayer, a bold prayer, an example of what we're talking about. Psalm chapter 2. I will give you the heathen as your possession, and as your inheritance in the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. Oh, folks, do we know what we have in Christ? And all of these blessings will be made real to us and realized through us through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Not only can we have boldness vertically before God, and I believe with all my heart in the days ahead, as I said when I started out, we're going to need boldness to accomplish what God, Spirit-led boldness to accomplish what God has called us to do. But not only can we have boldness, that's a starting point. Not only can we have absolute confidence, 14:15 says, and this is the confidence or the boldness that we have in Him, that if we ask anything in His name, according to His will, He will give it to us. Hallelujah. God, thank you for the boldness we have in Christ. But not only do we have this shameless boldness before God because of the blood of Jesus and His redemptive work, but because of this, we also have boldness on a horizontal level. Walking in this world, dealing with situations of life, dealing with the enemy of our souls, we have a right to boldness, and a boldness that the Holy Spirit will bring, just like He did to those early Christians through the power of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, wasn't too long after Sue and I married, we were starting a new congregation in eastern Canada, St. John, New Brunswick. And I don't remember what the situation was, but we were running into some challenges that they didn't tell us about in Bible school. And didn't know what to, what to do about it. And it was some situations, it was intimidating. And it was causing tension between us. And so we drove down to the beach and we're sitting in the car talking about this. It's been many years ago. I don't even remember what the situation was. But I had a very interesting experience. We're sitting there talking about this intimidating situation, circumstance. Some situation dealing with people and so on. As I'm sitting there, I heard these words in my heart. It wasn't audible, but just down in my heart, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I want you to roar at this situation. It was so real, I said to Sue, I said, God just told me to roar at this situation. Well, I'm sitting there thinking about this, the only thing I could relate it to in my mind was my experience in the U.S. Army back in the Vietnam era. And when I went through basic training in Fort Polk, Louisiana, they taught us to roar, or they also called it growling. And I remember going through bayonet training where we were running through this obstacle course with our rifle and the bayonet on the end. They had all these simulated dummies supposed to be like people there. And we were supposed to be running through there and hitting them with the butt of our rifle and sticking them with our bayonet. But we were commanded all the time we're going through there, we are to be roaring at the top of our voice. Ah! Well, that was the only thing I'm sitting there that I can relate this to. My Bible was lying on the dash, and I wasn't looking for some scripture. I wasn't, it didn't even cross my mind. I was just sitting there thinking about this and thinking about my experience in the army, and God has just told me to roar at this situation. But I picked up my Bible without even hardly thinking about it and just put it on my lap. And when I looked down, my Bible had just opened at random. I looked down, and my Bible had fallen open to Amos chapter 1. I looked down, and these are the words I saw. And the Lord shall roar out of Zion. Hallelujah! Well, I knew that Zion was an Old Testament picture of God's redeemed people. And so if God was going to roar out of Zion, I guess he was going to have to roar out of me. So, you know, this was not something like I was overcome with the Spirit or something. It was an act of obedience. So I'm sitting there, so I pictured this intimidating situation in my mind. And I roar, rah! And I'll have to confess, it was like the anxiety, the intimidation, the fear, it dissipated. I'm like, wow. And so I started incorporating that into my prayer life, you know, when I was alone praying. And if I was praying and there was something that was intimidating me, a challenging situation, well, you know, I would roar at it. As, you know, part of my prayer, expression of prayer and so on, based on what God had dealt with me about. Funny situation happened. We had a friend visiting, speaking for us, been in Bible school with, and he was at that time ministering as a missionary down in Mexico City. And he came up and he was speaking for us. He was there about 2 weeks. And we had a small building we were renting. It was an old construction office building. It was in a bad part of town. And we had noticed late at night, strange things going on around there, probably drug dealings and so on. And so we were living, when Larry was there with us, we were living upstairs. And one night we had all been in bed for some time. It was probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. And we heard this. It sounded like a window slamming, dropping, slamming shut, like people, heavy feet clumping on the floor. I got up and went out in the hall, and Larry got up and came out, and I said, "Were you up?" He said, "No, I heard all that noise. I thought maybe you all were up." So, you know, there was nothing upstairs, so I thought we had some sound equipment, musical instruments downstairs. I thought, you know, maybe somebody's breaking in downstairs. Well, there was just this little narrow, dark hallway went down the stairs, and the door opened into where we had our church services and where we had some guitars and things. So I went down the stairs, and as I'm going down the stairs, these intimidating thoughts start coming at me. You know, you're going to open the door and you're going to confront some people who have broken in. Well, because I had learned something about dealing with intimidation, when I got to the bottom of the stairs, I grabbed the doorknob and I jerked it open and I roared at the top of my voice, "Rah!" And I shouted at the top of my voice, "Where are you, devil?" Now, I don't know if there was anybody there or not. If there was, they left quickly. But the experience was so profound. All of that little intimidation and kind of thoughts of fear, they just dissipated. Sue and Larry came down, and we were standing there in the middle of the floor, 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're standing there on the floor, and it was like the Holy Spirit fell upon us. And we're standing there in the dark at 1 o'clock in the morning with our hands up praising God. And then there's a message in tongues, interpretation comes forth. And if somebody had been passing by and looked in the window, they would have thought, these are the strangest people standing in the middle of the floor, 1 o'clock in the morning, no lights on, in the dark, praising God, speaking in tongues. Oh, but when you're moving, when you're walking and living in the Spirit, you will do some interesting things sometimes. But you know, one thing I learned out of that. The Bible says in the New Testament that Satan goes about as a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He goes about as a roaring lion. What's he doing? He's wanting to intimidate God's people. Wanting to bring intimidation, causing us to draw back. But I discovered that on the inside of me is a real lion called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And he's not intimidated. And sometimes he wants to rise up and roar at those enemies that are coming against you, seeking to intimidate you and cause you to pull back from God's purpose for your life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a passage, turning your Bibles over to James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. James says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Just yield yourself to God. And then resist. Stand against the devil, and he will flee from you. I remember doing a study of that word flee. And it means to run in terror. And it has the connotation of someone being so frightened that their hair is standing out on end. Jesus beat up the devil so badly through his cross and resurrection that when you are yielded to God and yielded to his name, and then you resist the devil, James said, he will run from you in terror, like someone so frightened their hair is standing out on end. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, folks, I want you to know, you and I are such an incredibly privileged people who have received by faith the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. And now God wants to work it out all in us and through us by his Holy Spirit. And just like on the day, not the day of Pentecost, but a few days after the day of Pentecost, when there was this tremendous intimidation that was coming at the people of God, ordering them to no longer preach and teach in the name of Jesus, they prayed for boldness, and the answer was a new filling of the Holy Spirit. And with that new filling of the Holy Spirit came a new boldness. And they preached the word. They spoke the word. They were not intimidated. They spoke the word with boldness. And that new Christian movement began to continue. It didn't begin. It continued to spread. And we're here today because generation after generation since, God has had people that have been filled with his Holy Spirit and have continued to speak his word with boldness in the face of all kinds of pressure and intimidation. And I believe that God has found a people here in the Capital District, all of you sitting here, that you are not going to be intimidated by all of the threats, all of the intimidations, all of the words of the enemy. But you, like those believers in the early church, you're going to rise up. You're going to believe God for a fresh, ongoing filling of his Holy Spirit. That's going to fill you with boldness. You're not going to be intimidated, but you're going to continue to speak the word of God with boldness. And I believe, see, revival like you've never seen before in this city, in this area. Hallelujah. And it's going to come as we allow God to fill us again and again with his Spirit and with his boldness. Hallelujah. Now I want us to stand up together. And I want us to pray. If this message has resonated, if it's had any kind of meaning, let's do what they did in the early church. If there's any situation of life that has intimidated you, I want us to pray right now. Pray for boldness, and I believe God's going to give it through a fresh infilling of the Spirit. And then I'm going to just invite you. You don't have to. I know that was a personal thing God did for me, but I found other people have told me it's been very helpful. I'm going to lead you if you want to join in, and we're going to roar at the devil. Hallelujah. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Satan, I know, God, Lord, I know that Satan is going about even in Albany, Schenectady, Schoharie, this whole area, seeking to intimidate your people, seeking to put them in fear and cause them to pull back from being all out in their obedience to you and your call. And God, I ask you tonight to fill your people in this place with a new boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I see people responding all over the house. This is very real to you. Lord, I pray tonight for a new boldness for your people. God, a new filling of your Spirit that's going to bring a new boldness into people's hearts and lives. Hallelujah. And they're going to confront the enemy. Hallelujah. And they're going to see him flee. They're going to see him run in terror. Glory to God. As they boldly confront him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, fill us afresh with your Spirit right now. God, come visit us. Fill us anew and afresh with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And I want to just invite everyone here. If this word, this message has resonated with you in some area, I want you to get out from your seats right now and come down and stand. We're going to pray together. And I would ask the musicians, Ben, if you have a song that you could give us, however you want to do it. But would you just step out? I know in my heart so many people here, you needed to hear this tonight. There's been intimidation seeking to push you back and keep you from being all that God wants you to be. And I'm just going to ask you right now, if this resonated with you, would you just come down and stand and Brother Jay, feel free to come up and pray and however you want to be involved in this. Just come up. I know this is a word for so many people here tonight. That Satan has tried to paralyze you. He's tried to put you down and paralyze you and keep you back from all that God wants to do in you and through you. But we're driving a stake in the ground. We're putting our foot down and saying, Satan, this far and no further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're saying this far and no further. We're drawing a line in the sand. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I'm just going to ask you, if you just lift your hands up, let's just believe God for a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit tonight. And that's what I want to believe you with, a fresh filling of His Spirit that's going to bring a new boldness. And I'm going to say from this night forth, this is a new beginning for many of you. You're going to walk in a new boldness. Hallelujah. You're going to walk in a new confidence and a new boldness. Even in your relationship with God and in your relationship in this world with people and against the enemy of your soul. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I thank you for it. Lord, I agree together right now. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus for doing it. Go, Kila Maso.